Welcome to the Putting the Public into Health podcast by Dr. Richard Pan. As we face one of the greatest public health disasters in a century, this podcast will address questions and issues from you, the public, about the COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on people's health and lives. I am Dr. Richard Pan. I'm a physician with a background in public health, and I'm proud to represent the people of Sacramento, Elk Grove, West Sacramento, and parts of Sacramento County in the California State Senate. I want to share with you important information and stories to help each other during this difficult time. We pay premiums for insurance to help us recover during disaster, and the insurance commissioner makes sure that the insurance we buy will deliver on its promises. I'm thrilled to be joined by California's insurance commissioner, Ricardo Lara. I had the honor of serving with Ricardo in both the state assembly and Senate, where he was a champion for consumers, the underserved, and the environment. As insurance commissioner, he has had to deal with wildfires and coronavirus while working to protect consumers from fraud and expanding access to health care for all Californians. Thank you so much, Ricardo, for joining me.
Thank you. It's great to be on and hear your voice, and glad that you're doing well.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate your leadership. Now, what have been your top priorities during this COVID-19 pandemic as insurance commissioner?
Absolutely. You know, my priority since this pandemic has started, it was really getting money back to consumers and businesses who have been, you know, suffering through this process and this pandemic. You know, helping small businesses file insurance claims and combat fraud, protecting the health of Californians, and working to keep fire insurance available and affordable, since wildfires, you know, are not going to wait for this crisis to be over. As we're already seeing, we're going to have a much more drier and hotter fire season. And so it's up to the Department of Insurance, as the largest consumer protection agency, and that, of course, includes our businesses that have been hit hard by the pandemic, to look after them. I have taken more than 20 separate actions to help consumers and businesses. You can see the full list of those at insurance.ca.gov. And we're also hosted 25 teletown halls across the state, attended by nearly 7,000 small business owners and consumers. And, you know, two of the major issues that we are monitoring during this pandemic is business interruption and insurance fraud. So these are critical issues that, unfortunately, when these catastrophes strike is when, you know, people try to take advantage of some of our most vulnerable Californians. So it's been very busy at the department. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned about in terms of business interruption with COVID, and as a small business owner, I know that I've seen businesses who have closed for months. Some are still closed. We also have skyrocketing unemployment, people losing their jobs as well because of the pandemic. Yet people are trying to keep their insurance coverage, right, because there's other disasters as well. You mentioned wildfires, other types of things. They need health insurance. They need other types of insurance. What are things that you are doing to try to help people keep their insurance coverage while they're dealing with the pandemic and their businesses being closed and potentially being unemployed?
Absolutely. You know, I saw the unemployment rise and businesses closing in March, and requested insurance companies to give their policyholders a grace period to pay their premiums through at least July 14th. And this applies to all lines of insurance, including commercial insurance policies and health insurance, as well as requiring insurance companies to give refunds for the premiums for March, April, and May, as we've seen, you know, the stay-at-home orders and people abiding by that order. We've seen the risk fall in terms of, you know, risk that people are no longer are paying for, but no longer really reflects, as we see accidents going down, the probability of accidents going down, businesses shutting their doors. And so you don't have the workers' comp needs that you used to have, you know, your medical malpractice insurance, for example, mm-hmm. as we, you know, weren't doing any of the selective surgeries. And so what we did is really require insurance companies to provide that refund or that credit to businesses and Californians. And we're also, I should say, we're going to be receiving all that data to make sure that consumers aren't being shortchanged. And I'm proud to say that California is the only state that really went not only on the consumer side, on the private passenger auto, but on the business end of the commercial lines as well, to ask for those refunds for our businesses and our small businesses, because, you know, it no longer reflected the risk that we were living in. And so people needed, especially now more than ever, some reprieve, not only from the premiums and giving, allowing for those grace periods, but also for refunds, because the premiums no longer reflect that risk. And so it was a big win for California consumers, and we continue to get that data from the insurance companies to make sure that consumers aren't being shortchanged.
Well, no, that is a big win for consumers, the fact that you're helping us not only keep our insurance coverage, but also recognizing with the decreased risk that not only should we get a deferral in the payment of the premiums, but actually our premiums should go down because we're actually consuming less risk. Now, talking about risk, many people are essential workers who, because of COVID, are actually risk for COVID during their jobs while they're working. You know, our people in healthcare, people working in the grocery stores, other places where they may be exposed to people who may be carrying COVID. Many people are carrying COVID are asymptomatic, so they don't even know they're sick. So they're sharing these public spaces. What is the impact of COVID-19 on workers' compensation? And are you seeing claims increasing because of COVID, or is it the same or decreasing? So what's going on with workers' comp? What's the role of workers' comp when it comes to COVID-19, especially for essential workers?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Senator. You know, workers' compensation insurers cannot exclude COVID-19 from their coverage, which is great, and all workers affected by COVID-19 on the job are eligible for workers' compensation benefits, whether or not they are considered essential services. And this includes workers engaged in frontline occupations, like you know very well, healthcare, emergency services, food production, sales, delivery, among others. Workers' compensation also applies to our undocumented workers. In 2015, when I was in the Senate with you, I authored SB 623, which was signed by Governor Brown, that expanded protection for our immigrant workers and our undocumented workers in the event that they are injured on the job. And even if their employer doesn't carry workers' compensation insurance as required by law, and I issued a notice to insurance companies to remind them about these existing legal protections for our immigrant workforce. And, you know, since Governor Newsom signed the executive order creating a presumption that a worker contracted COVID-19 while on the job, if the worker is diagnosed with COVID-19 or test positive, that the order applies to all workers, whether or not they are deemed essential. Again, California taking a proactive approach to protect all our workers during this pandemic. And, you know, it's honestly going to take some time to see what the impact of the pandemic on our workers' compensation system is and on premiums that businesses pay. But, you know, businesses that are closed or have dramatically reduced payrolls due to the stay-at-home orders may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term. And that's why I ordered insurance companies to return a portion of worker compensation premiums to our businesses for March, April, and May. And also, I have to say, under current workers' compensation regulation, payrolls include payments to employees who are furloughed, even though they're not working, which means that the employer's rates would remain the same if that employee were still in the workforce performing their regular duties. And employers that provide workers with an opportunity to transition from their regular work duties to lighter home-based clerical are still paying rates based on the higher job classification. And that, to me, is completely unfair. And so I have actually issued new emergency regulations to reflect that lower risk for worker injury in light of the pandemic and give some savings to businesses, again, making sure it reflects the reality that we have been living under since March and giving some reprieve to the businesses as they're trying to keep their doors open, trying to stay in business, and again, giving them that much-needed support during this difficult time.
No, that's great news as well. And now, one of the issues that has come up related to workers' compensation is that we did have the stay-at-home orders. So we talk about the essential workers and being on the front lines, and also the other workers as well who may be exposed. As we are reopening the economy and there's more people able to return to work. Some people have pointed out and said, well, there is more COVID out there. We've seen an increase in cases from COVID from home gatherings and other types of events outside the workplace. Do you have concerns that the cost of COVID related to workers' compensation is going to be impacted because the presumption because, well, maybe they caught the COVID outside of work right. because people aren't staying at home. So how are you looking at this as an insurance commissioner in terms of
Another great question. Mm-hmm. And again, we need to remind ourselves that what the governor put out there was a rebuttable presumption, right?
Mm-hmm. So correct.
Businesses still have an opportunity to prove that the worker did not contract COVID during their work hours. So it's not just a blanket assumption, but it is a rebuttable assumption. So that gives our business owners, and that's important for them to understand as well, that they have that opportunity to prove that the worker didn't contract COVID at their work. But again, you know, in California, we want to make sure that all the workers, even the non-essential workers, have access to workers' compensation. And so it's really still too early to tell what the impact is going to be on the overall system. And again, if we stop and think as well that the with my order to create these refunds or credits, but also with the delayed impact of care, we might see a wave of these claims come in the future as well. And so it's still we're still gathering the numbers. We're still gathering the data and figuring out, you know, now that people are starting to do these surgeries, the selective surgeries that have been, you know, kind of put on the sideline, is looking at what the costs are going to be for hospitals, for care, and for our overall workers' compensation system. And so, again, we're living in unprecedented times, and we it's going to take us a while to crunch the numbers to see how the overall pandemic is going to affect our workers' compensation system here in California.
Yeah. Now, in some ways, the pressure on workers' compensation system also comes from the fact that not everyone has health care. And some people have said that if everyone had health care coverage, workers' compensation, while still an important system, there'd be less pressure on that. And as a legislator, I know that you were our leading champion in trying to expand health care coverage for all Californians. We were through your leadership, we were able to get it for our children, our youth. We're continuing that work in the legislature as well. Also, the COVID-19 pandemic also has illustrated, again, what happens when people don't have health care coverage. We have a very contagious disease, and we don't need people who may be feeling ill, who may have this disease, not able to get health care, because then they would just end up spreading it to other people if we can't get them tested, get them identified, take the steps we need to be sure not only that they get care, but also that we can slow the spread or even stop the spread of this disease. So as insurance commissioner, what have you been able to do? So I know as a senator and assembly member, you championed bills and got legislation passed to get people health care coverage. But now as insurance commissioner, what have you been able to do to help people be sure they can afford testing and treatment for COVID-19, which is so essential to us containing and stopping this pandemic?
Absolutely. And you know, Senator Penn, the reason why I ran for this position was because of my continuing struggle to try to get coverage for every single Californian. Mm-hmm. And access to health care, as you very well know and have supported as well and championed, is the more access we give people to health care, the less cost it is on our overall system because, you know, we don't rely on the emergency room as primary care, where it costs the state three times the amount. And so, you know, we're always going to pay. This is a cost that we're always going to pay for, right? We either pay for it on the front end by being able to give people access to a primary care physician, to comprehensive care, or we're going to pay it on the back end where people suffer from much more acute conditions that end up costing us much more. And so, you know, it's the reason why I continue to work on these issues. And, you know, I supported covered California's declaration of a special enrollment period on March 20th to facilitate the ability for Californians who have lost their job to enroll in individual coverage through California, the Covered California. And I know as of June 15, we've had more than 155,000 consumers who have signed up for coverage through Covered California. And as you know, depending on their income, they may receive substantial subsidies to make health insurance affordable during this difficult time. It is also important for Californians to remember that if their income is substantially reduced, they may qualify for low-cost or no-cost Medi-Cal coverage. And so, you know, my department has taken several actions to address healthcare costs for consumers, and I'm very proud of the work that we've done. One of the first major actions I did in response to the crisis was to eliminate cost sharing for COVID-19 testing. I did that back in March 5th with Governor Gavin Newsom and I directing insurance companies to eliminate copays, deductibles, and other costs related to screening and testing of COVID-19. As we expand testing and get people back to work, this is going to become increasingly important. I also directed health insurance companies to increase telehealth access to, for consumers. Health insurance companies must continue to provide access to medically necessary care, and California policyholders should be able to access medically necessary health care without physically visiting their provider in person when clinically appropriate, of course. And, you know, I really think, I don't know, you know, I'm sure you share the same sentiment, but I think telehealth is here to stay. And this is going to be a good thing for employers and workers alike. And telehealth can keep our medical offices working while reducing risk to frontline workers and to our patients. Obviously, we need to work on access to broadband for our state, how we reimburse telehealth for our doctors. And these are all things that we can work out. But I think really telehealth is going to be the future as we continue to, you know, expand access and provide that, you know, important, critical one-on-one consultation that is critical to keep people healthy.
No, that's an extremely important point. And certainly your leadership in ensuring that insurance covers telehealth visits is very important to build that capacity. And you're right. I think that even after COVID's over, whenever that may happen, the work that we've done on telehealth and access to telehealth is something that's going to be here to stay. I think the convenience it provides to patients, the fact that it also lowers potentially risk for some patients and staff as well, are things that people will want to continue to retain as well. So appreciate your leadership in being sure that people can get access to the care, not just have the coverage, but actually get access to actual care through their insurance.
Right.
By being able to access telehealth, particularly during this pandemic, but also hopefully afterwards as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, aside from COVID, we also are dealing with a longstanding a crisis with racism and killings of Black Americans, including George Floyd at the hands of police, but as well as many others, have led to numerous peaceful protests across the state. To call this out and to call for systematic change to address this. However, unfortunately, there are also agitators who have used some of the protests as a cover to damage and loot businesses. And so these businesses have suffered because of that. Will property insurance cover damages from civil unrest and looting for small businesses when this happens, when people, unfortunately, when agitators are taking advantage of protests to create mayhem and then cause property damage?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, over the past month, you know, we've all been witnessing our state and nation reckon with another massive challenge, as you point that out, you know, the recurring racism and injustice of our police brutality that has caused so much pain in our African-American community for generations. Mm-hmm. You know, my immediate focus is making sure that insurance industry is prepared to handle the claims and to help our businesses recover as quickly as possible. And, you know, we've been working to make sure that adjusters could be on the ground as soon as possible to help the looted businesses immediately access their benefits through their insurance policy. And so we've been in contact with our insurance industry, and so far I'm not hearing any problems with businesses accessing their benefits. Our community outreach team and consumer services teams have all already begun reaching out to the affected communities, lending our support to have prepared. We've also prepared, a helpful fact sheet about insurance resources following civil unrest that's available on our website. And so, yes, standard commercial policies typically include coverage for physical loss or damage to insured property resulting from looting, vandalism, or riots. Whether a specific loss will be covered really depends on the actual language within the policy and coverage exclusions that may apply in that particular contract. But it's important to check your specific insurance policy for, I would say, the following coverages. Mm-hmm. Vandalism and malicious mischief, riot or civil commotion, business income coverage, which usually covers your loss of income when you have to suspend operations and typically is triggered by a direct physical loss from a covered peril in your policy, such as a fire, for example, or civil authority coverage, which is business income coverage, which is typically include civil authority coverage, which protects your loss of income if a civil authority prohibits access to your business, such as the local government, for example, that we've seen happen. Also, glass coverage. Many commercial policies cover glass breakage, but we have seen some companies requiring separate glass coverage that is added onto a policy by an endorsement for additional premium. So, you know, we also have to mention two other coverages: auto coverage. Damage to a personal vehicle because of a riot or civil commotion is covered under your comprehensive portion of your policy. And also homeowners and renters coverage. A standard homeowners and renters policy will cover all perils I mentioned: riot, civil commotion, vandalism, malicious mischief. And so, you know, we need to really look into the details in your policy. But all this information is on our department fact sheet, which you can find at insurance.ca.gov, or you can, you know, give us a call if you have any questions regarding your policy. We have, you know, transitioned the majority of our staff to you know, work from home, and we have folks that are prepared to answer your question. And, you know, we understand that insurance is complicated, especially, you know, our business owners. Their number one priority is keeping those doors open, surviving through this crisis. And so we can help people navigate their insurance needs, help them understand their policy. And so we encourage them and business owners and consumers to call us at 1-800-927-4357, and we'll be more than happy to help you.
No, that's great. I appreciate that many of the businesses, even when they've suffered from damage and looting, I continue to support the protests and the need to speak out against racism, and recognize that that the damage to your business is not representative, actually, of the protests themselves, but right. Unfortunately, of others who are using it as a cover or other reasons to unfortunately take advantage of some of these businesses. Now, you touched on wildfires earlier in our conversation, and as you mentioned, they're not going away. And fortunately, we have not fixed climate change because of COVID. There are still many people who are still recovering from prior fires, and others who are having difficulty renewing their insurance for their homes and businesses, as well as they've been identified as high-risk areas. What are some of the things that you are doing? I know you've touched on some of them. To help people who are affected by the wildfires, people both who've had damage and now trying to recover, but also people who may not have, but want to continue to have insurance coverage for the next wildfire season because they don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. You know, the there's been a couple issues related to fires, and I'm glad that you point out that, you know, wildfires are not going to respect that we're in a pandemic. They're not going to respect that, you know, we continue to struggle on how do we now adapt to this unfortunate new climate reality. But a couple of issues have really surfaced that we've been trying to fix through several legislations and regulatory actions. The issue of insurance non-renewals has really affected almost every county in California, including parts of Sacramento County that are in our wildland urban interface. You know, we just saw the grassland fire burn 5,000 acres near Rancho Cordova. Mm. Thankfully, no homes were destroyed, but it reminds us that this is a reality both in urban and rural California. So when, you know, when they decide which homes to insure, each insurance company creates its own list of underwriting eligibility standards to determine which homes is it's going to be willing to write or renew. And those standards include an array of criteria that vary from one insurer to the next. Some considerations for underwriting include, you know, the age of your home, the effective age of the plumbing, heating, electrical systems, the condition of your roof, loss history of the owner or renter, fire protection rating from your local fire department, and other characteristics of the property that might create a hazard. You know, wildfire risk scores are playing a greater role in analyzing the fuel load, which essentially fuel load means trees, brush, other vegetation, the slope and accessibility of your property. And so if you're in the center of Sacramento, you have almost no risk of a wildfire, but you don't have to go far outside to see the risk go up drastically. Over the past year, you know, I've held town halls in more than 20 counties, and I heard the stories from people who are losing their home insurance. And I'm extremely concerned that companies are not renewing people with no consideration for their loss history or any mitigation that they have done on their property. And I don't think it's fair. And, you know, I believe we should require and mandate insurance companies to write an insurance policy for a home that's been hardened against wildfires. People are spending thousands of dollars and oftentimes the request of your local fire department, your fire safe community, your local government. And even sometimes the own insurance company tells you, this is what you need to do to protect your property. You invest thousands of dollars, and yet you're still being dropped from your coverage. And what happens when an insurance company drops your coverage? And, you know, it really creates a domino effect. If you can't find insurance for your property, you can't sell that property. If you can't sell that property, that disrupts the real estate market. And that means less local money to local governments that need to be able to provide the firefighters to fight the fires in the first place. And so it creates a very detrimental domino effect that's really harming some of our most vulnerable communities already, not only throughout the foothills of California, but throughout the entire state. And so, you know, we need to work on reducing people's individual risk. Look at your local fire departments for more information. The FAIR plan, which is our insurer of last resort, which is backed by the way, by insurance companies, not by taxpayers. The FAIR plan needs to offer a comprehensive plan with appropriate coverage limits so that, you know, people don't have to buy additional wraparound coverage from an insurance company at an additional cost. And so all these things add on to the cost already of insurance. And what we've witnessed throughout the state is some people, you know, their insurance premiums quadruple. And so it ends up sometimes, obviously, you know, you end up losing your home or not being able to purchase a home because the debt ratio is so unbalanced with now the current insurance realities that so many people are facing throughout the state.
Well, really appreciate your work, and there's so many things going on, and with you at the helm as our insurance commissioner, I know that you're tackling a lot of different things. So I really appreciate you taking the time to be on this podcast, and I want to thank you so much for your leadership and your advocacy for consumers, insurance commissioner. So thank you so very much.
Thank you. It's great to be on and good to hear your voice, and look forward to seeing you in person one day after all this is over.
Same here. No, thank you so very much, Ricardo. And I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Putting the Public into Health by Dr. Richard Pan. If you have questions or ideas for a future podcast, please email them to senator.pan@senate.ca.gov. Please stay at home as much as possible, stay at least 6 feet away from others outside, wear a mask, and wash your hands frequently. Together, we are slowing the spread of the disease and saving lives. Thank you so much for listening.